Good morning. It is good to be here with you today. It is good to be in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. I want to start off talking a little bit about this message. Oh, first of all, let me say something about the prayer things that were handed out, 30 days of prayer. I encourage you to do that. We got one too, and I thought, wow. If anything is needed right now, prayer is needed. Is that right? For this nation? Boy, the most important thing we can do right now as a people of this nation is to pray for this nation. And to see the hand of God move sovereignly over this nation to bring about that which God wants to bring about. But God's people need to be praying. So I just encourage you to grab one of those pamphlets and to pray every day, and we grabbed one, and I'm grateful that we're here today to get that pamphlet. Otherwise, I'm not sure if I would have known about that. So thank you. I encourage you to do that. All right, today I want to talk about joy, and I want to talk about it from a biblical perspective. You know, joy, we can think of joy in many terms. A lot of times we talk about joy, and we think about joy as far as happiness is concerned. We tend to equate it to emotion, in which I guess you could equate it to me, that's more happiness. I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. And all those things I can say about being right here today. I'm happy. I'm thrilled to be here. But really, that has nothing to do with deep inner joy that comes from a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because deep inner joy with a relationship with Jesus Christ not only is with us when we're happy and excited, but that deep inner joy also carries us through times that are anything but happy and exciting. And I'll mention that a little bit later on. But today we're going to look at joy. We're going to look at what the Word of God has to say about joy. Let's begin with a word of prayer, shall we? Father in heaven, we come here today and we ask for your divine blessing over this time. Lord, we invite the presence of your Holy Spirit to move upon each one of us. God, I pray that as we open up your word, there are certain portions of scripture that come alive and speak to each one of our hearts in very unique, very profound ways that do a holy work that only you can do, O Lord God Almighty. Father, we are here to hear from your word. We're here to hear from the Spirit of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we ask that you move upon us through the power of your Holy Spirit to accomplish that which you want to do in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So let me begin. First of all, if you want to turn to the book of John, if you have a copy of scripture, to John chapter 1, John's Gospel chapter 1. I want to look at that, and then I want to transition over into 1 John and make some comments there. But I want to, first of all, I wrote a paragraph here that I want to read before I dive into that. So John authored 5 books in the New Testament. His Gospel stands alone in representing Jesus from a personal perspective. John was the one disciple referred to as the one Jesus loved. John is the one out of the inner circle of the three, Peter, James, and John, that shared a deep connection with Jesus. John is the one who had an awesome vision of Jesus on the island of Patmos. So it is within this framework that we read the scriptures today. Hopefully, each one of us will leave this place with a deeper appreciation of that which brings true joy to our lives. So, the Gospel of John, right in the beginning, and I want to read this to you. I know that we've heard this many times, but I pray that there is a freshness of the Holy Spirit that moves upon us as we read these words. So this is John, the apostle, the one that Jesus loved. speaking these words, carried by the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was a light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Dropping down to verse 10. And I can just picture John saying these words, and I can picture with excitement John saying these. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I can picture John saying these words and the words to follow that I'll read with excitement and with clarity as he understood, perhaps deeper than anyone, who Jesus was and the love and the nurture of Jesus. Let me just point this out, verse 13. I have always been intrigued by this. I love the way I'm reading out of the NIV 84, and I love the way it's written. Children born not of natural descent. In other words, when the Pharisees said to Jesus one time, "We're Abraham's children." And Jesus looked at him and paraphrasing, he said, "No, you're not. You're children of the devil." In other words, the Pharisees thought that there was a line that because they came from Abraham, they had a right to be children of God. And Jesus said, "No, you're not. Matter of fact, you're children of the devil." And then he goes on to say that nor of human decision. I can't, I can't of my own will say, "Well, I think I'm going to be a child of God today." I need the moving of the Holy Spirit, God's preemptive grace flowing over my life, to be able to move me to a place where I can say, "Jesus, I need you. Lord, I need you in my life." Nor can the word, John says, nor is it of a husband's will. That just not anyone can say, "Well, I want this child to know the Lord." It's a move of the Holy Spirit that happens upon people's lives. So we flip to the book of John, 1 John, excuse me, and we read these words. And I love these words. I love the way that John writes this. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life." That's interesting. That word of life was used in the beginning in the Gospel of John, wasn't it? John was saying he's the word of life. He's the author of life. He's the perfecter of life. And John, with great excitement, is proclaiming these words. "That which we have seen, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life and testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete." John is saying this with great enthusiasm. He's also saying it with a depth of joy in his heart that cannot be deterred by anything in this life. He's saying this out of a depth of relationship with Jesus Christ that he goes on to say, let me tell you about this one that I've seen with my eyes and I've touched with my hands. He's the Word of life. And I'm proclaiming this to you for a certain reason. As a matter of fact, even in the NIV, it says this very clearly. He says, there's a reason, and our fellow, and he says, we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard so that, there's a reason I want to tell you this. He says, so that you will have fellowship with us, with the believers, with those who trust in Jesus Christ. And our fellowship is also with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. It's interesting that John is proclaiming this with an excitement, and there's a reason that he's proclaiming this as well. He's saying that I want you to have fellowship with us and with the Lord Jesus Christ. That word fellowship is an interesting word. In the Greek, the word is pronounced koinonia. Koinonia. And there's a lot of words in that definition for fellowship. I want to hone in on two of them, and those being community and communion. Community and communion. In other words, John is saying, I'm telling you all of this so that you will have and know what it is like to be in community with one another, with Christians, and that you will be in koinonia, or you will have great communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That you will come to know him and live in him and find deep, deep, deep-seated joy in who this one is that lives within you, that moves within you, that does a holy work within you. And he says, I want you to know the value of that community. If I can just stop for just a minute and say this. John is talking about the value of community right here, this church, Radiant Springs. There's a great value to being here. Not only here right now, this Sunday, but there is tremendous value of being part of this community. There's great value in lifting one another up, in being with one another, enjoying the great joys of life as far as baby showers and fun things. And there's tremendous benefit of being with one another when hard times come. God has called us to be a part of a community. And I just want to encourage you, as being part of Radiant Springs, to continue to love and to nurture and to speak over one another words of grace and love and encouragement, things that you need and others need in this body, that you will continue to be the community of Jesus that God's called you to be, to continue to grow in relationship with one another and to reach out into this community, that those that are desperate for Christ would know the love and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's tremendous value in being in community. So John writes these words about joy. He says, I'm writing this to make our joy complete. And as I thought about that, I thought, you know, there's other places in the Bible where there were both John and Jesus talk about making their joy complete. And so I thought, you know, let's take a look at some of those places. If John is saying, I'm writing this to make my joy complete, and Jesus is saying, I'm sharing this with you so that your joy may be complete, I thought, you know, let's take a look at a couple of those things. So I want to turn back to the book of John in chapter 15 in the Gospel of John. And Jesus says something very powerful about his commandments and what his commandments do in our lives. In John chapter 15, starting at verse 9, he says this, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." So Jesus tells us that there's a way to know and to continue to grow a deep inner joy within us, no matter the situations of life. And he says this, remain in my love. Remain in my love. How do we remain in his love? This scripture tells us that if we continue to follow his commands, we'll remain in his love. That we will have a deep-seated joy as we walk through various portions of our lives as we remain in his commands. Perhaps one of the biggest things Jesus says about commands is found in the book of Matthew, chapter 22. And he says this, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So Jesus is saying about the commandments, he's saying, you know what? You can wrap up all of those commandments into two simple commandments. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. If you will love God your life, and if you will love people throughout your life, you will find yourself growing in my commands, and you will find the completeness. You will find my commandments being completed in you if you will approach every single day of your life loving God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and loving others. Which is easier to do, commandment number one or commandment number two? For me personally, I think number one's a little bit easier. I can love God. I can love God. There's some things going on in this world that make me go, "Urgh." But Jesus says, love people. Love people. Love people. You know, let me say this. We are on this earth for such a short time. Some people on this earth till they're in their 40s, some in their 50s, some in their 60s, some live into their 80s, some people make it into their hundreds. But when we consider what short span of time that is compared to eternity, we're on this earth for just a short time. And the ability to every day wake up and say, Lord, wash over my spirit, wash over the innermost being of my being, and help me to love those, especially those that are so different from me. God desires that everyone, Or let me say it another way. God desires that none shall perish, but that all shall come to everlasting life. Lord, help me. Help me to love people the way you love people. So Jesus says, stay in my commands. As you stay in my commands, you will find joy, divine joy, Holy Ghost joy, continuing to be developed and strengthened in you. In the book of 1 John, we see these words. 1 John 3:23, John says this, And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. It's an interesting statement that John makes in his book, chapter 3. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he has commanded us. So remaining in Jesus, there's a scripture also in the first book of John, chapter 2, that says this. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, and truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. There's another translation that says something very similar to the at the end of that, says that we will walk just as Jesus walked. So this portion of Scripture is telling us that there's a way to know that we're living in Christ, following his commands, loving his commands, doing that which he has called us to do. And by this we know that we are in him. And he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as Jesus walked. So I pray that as we continue to move through these summer months, as we continue to move through this year in general, that we will walk as Jesus walked. Spiritually, I pray that each one of us will continue to have our minds, that our minds will be protected in the Word of God. And I guess what I'm trying to say is this, is as we continue to go through this time period that we're living in, we continue to see deception increase in the world. And I would even say that we see deception creeping into the church, and we see things that are taught that sound good, but there's just enough of a twist in there. Just enough of a twist that those that are not living by the commands and know the Word of God will be caught by that hook. They'll be caught by that. So I encourage you as you walk through these days to continue to live in good foundational doctrine, to avoid ideas that are not founded on good, solid, long-standing biblical doctrine. If you hear something strange in a podcast, if you see something being preached on TV that doesn't quite sit right, it's probably not right. And there's a lot of things going on in society. There's a lot of things that are being proclaimed from quote-unquote churches that are doing that. There's just enough of a twist of it to try to lure someone in. Stay in the Word, people. Stay in the Word of God and know that the Word of God protects you And as it protects you, it continues to develop deep-seated joy within you. Christ's love is perfected in us as we follow his commands. Additionally, Christ's word, his command, his Bible, renews our minds and keeps us sharp and attentive to the things that are going on from a biblical perspective. As we read things, as we see things transpiring in this world, we want to be able to filter that through a biblical lens, and not a lens of what so-and-so is saying, or not a lens of what this person is saying, but we want to be able to see things as they're happening in real-time life through a biblical lens, and we can only do that with our minds being consistently and constantly renewed in the word of the Lord. So I encourage you to continue to renew your minds in the word of the Lord. In the third book of John, we see this verse. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. The word of God is truth. We're living in a time that people will say to us, well, that's your truth, but I'm living by my truth. And can I tell you, truth is truth. Truth is truth, and truth is found in the word of God. Nor shall we live by whatever makes you happy. Joy is found by being obedient to saying in the word and living the word through its context, living life through the word of God in its context. So we're here to absorb the Lord's word, that his word would consistently bring joy in our lives. There's another area that Jesus talks about joy, making his joy complete in us, and that's through fellowship with the Lord through prayer. Fellowship through prayer. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus says this, until now, you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. I would say, in addition to that, the Word of God tells us throughout Scripture that God will fill us with the desires of our heart as we continually look into the Word of God. Our minds are transformed, and the way we pray continues to be transformed. And we find ourselves praying for the desires and the will of the Lord. And as we continue to grow in relationship with God through prayer, we continue to grow in those things that bring us joy, because we're finding ourselves in great communion with God, great fellowship with God through prayer. I want to encourage you again, these next 30 days coming up, starting in August 1st, take time. Pray through those specific prayer points for every day. And I haven't looked at the sheet yet, but I would encourage you to look at that sheet and not only pray for the nation, but personalize those prayers. Personalize them specifically for you and your family and the nation. Does that make sense? Hopefully it'll make sense when you read that. But personalize them to yourself, to your family, and to the nation. In other words, let me say it another way. Praying the word of God over yourself, over your family, and over this nation has tremendous value in what happens in our lives and what happens in the life of this nation. Praying with persistence. Let me stop and take a moment And I want to read a scripture to you. It's found in the book of Psalm 91. And I guess I'm reading this just to highlight a little bit of what I just said. So Psalm 91, the last three verses of Psalm 91. If I can read these to you. So the last three verses say this. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and I will show him my salvation. That's one way to read this word. Here's another way to read this word. Because Annette loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue her. I will protect Annette, for she acknowledges my name. Annette will call upon me, and I will answer her. I will be with Annette in trouble. I will deliver Annette, and I will honor her. With long life, I will satisfy Annette, and I will show her my salvation. Same verse, read two different ways. Putting our name in the Word of God makes a powerful difference. Putting the name of family members in the Word of God makes a powerful difference. Absorbing the Word of God and praying the Word of God brings a deeper relationship and brings a deeper amount of joy into our lives. And as we read his commands, and as we pray, praying the Word of God powerfully into our lives, we see amazing things happen. Number one, I would say that we see ourselves not only walking through times that, you know, let me say this. We all walk through times and seasons in our lives. Some seasons are happy and joyful. Some seasons are not. They're just horrible. And most of our life is somewhere in between. Praying the Word of God, speaking the Word, praying is reading his commands gives a heightened understanding to the joy. Praying his word, staying his word, praying helps us manage the bad things of life. And staying in his word brings the normalities of life continually growing in joy as we live our lives. That he wants us to live our lives full of joy as we walk through this life. Fellowship through prayer makes our joy complete. Habitual prayer and praying without ceasing brings intimacy with Jesus. Being in fellowship with Jesus through prayer affords us the opportunity to manage every single season of our lives. Praying the Word of God over our lives prepares us for spiritual battles. If we could have the musicians come up, I want to begin to close this time together, or close this message out. Dear ones, we are living in a season of time that if we look at it from a biblical perspective, things more than likely will continue to unravel. What we're seeing today, what we see happening today, events happening today in the world we live in, I'm not sure that we would have seen those events 10 years ago. I'm not sure we would have seen some of the events even 5 years ago. And as we continue to walk through these days, into the last days, we need joy. Deep-seated joy that only comes from heaven on high. And I want to encourage you as you walk through these summer months and as you walk into the fall and the winter to come, that you will continue to grow in relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His desire to see you strong and ready for the events that will take place. But we can only do that. We can only be so strong by staying in His Word, true to His Word, true to fellowship with prayer in Him. So it's my prayer that we will continue to fellowship with like-minded believers, that we'll find joy as the Word of God impacts our lives, and we'll grow in continually joy as we experience a vibrant prayer life. I'm going to close in prayer now. I'm going to ask some people to come forward, and as I pray, I just want you to, if you feel you need prayer for whatever situation you need prayer for, that you would come forth and receive prayer. Father, we come before you, and we are grateful for your presence. Lord, we're grateful for your nearness in our lives. Lord, we're grateful that you walk us through every season of life. And most of all, we're grateful for your divine presence that guides and directs us. Lord, take us to a new level. Take us to a new faith dimension that brings forth divine, holy joy. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.
What a great song to end the service. That we would come to the altar, that we would seek Him, that we would renew our love for Him on a daily basis. That He'll forgive us, He'll renew us, He'll strengthen us, He'll set our feet on a new place, a place to go forward. And so as you go through this week, just reflect on what we've heard, just that communion, that fellowship with Christ, that joy that comes with spending time in His Word and spending time in His presence and taking that time to pray. So let's just end in prayer as you're dismissed. Lord, we just thank you for this day. Thank you that for the encouragement that we can receive from coming to church, to being with other believers, who are hearing a message that encourages our soul. Father, as we go from this building, we pray that we do not forget what we heard. And that, Lord, when Monday comes, that we would spend time with you. And throughout the week, every day. And Father, I just pray for our church that we would, Lord, commit to praying in August for our country. So, Lord, I pray that you would bless us, and that you would keep us, and that your face would shine upon us today as we go out this building into a world that needs you. In Jesus' name.